I have declared today an international feel good about yourself day. In other words, for a 24-hour period, I have declared a moratorium on feeling bad about yourself. That no one is allowed to feel bad about themselves for 24 hours. For this next 24-hour period, the whole point is to feel good about yourself. Now, feeling good about yourself is an interesting challenge, because we are conditioned to feeling bad about ourselves. And therefore, we compensate by doing activities that bring us some kind of pleasure externally. During this entire little difficulty I just had, I felt good about it. So because this is International Feel Good About Yourself Day, I didn't feel bad about having to struggle. It wasn't a struggle. I mean, I knew exactly what to do. It was just a question of finding all those wires and moving other wires, which is why you lost the connection there and you had to restart your players. Because I had to change the input and everything. Doesn't matter, that's technical. But I felt good about it because that difficulty was to do something better, was to take a situation which was not good, admit it was not good, and then make a change for the better. And that change improved the situation. Now, feeling good about yourself has many aspects to it. And yesterday I was thinking about the most important aspect of it. And it made me remember the Bhagavad Gita. Every now and then when I think about a particular concept or topic or situation, my mind always relates it to the Vedic literatures that I'm aware of, that I know of. And it tries to make sense of my present experience in context of the previous Vedic situation, or Vedic knowledge and understanding. Sometimes that works well, and sometimes that gives me the opportunity to expand, for example, what Krishna might have been saying in the Bhagavad Gita, or what other Eastern literatures were speaking about. Sometimes it gives me insight into what the Buddhist tradition was getting at. Sometimes it helps me understand better even a principle from Christianity. Or it even gives me an insight into why the Ten Commandments, for instance, have value. In other words, the more I contemplate the philosophical connection between my experience and these traditions, the more I feel confident in the reality of experience. Because when you just accept some knowledge, but it is not related to your experience, it can be a burden. I was also thinking about deity worship the other day. I love deities. That's one of my things. I just love the deities. I love their energy. I don't mind whether deities are related to Shiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, Shakti Tattva, same of Shiva Tattva, or Vishnu Tattva, or Radha Krishna, or Gornatai, or whatever. I don't consider everything as all one, although some silly people might think so. I just love this divine energy. I love these divine beings. I love to connect with them. All of them are just so wonderful. So really wonderful personalities. They're just so beautiful and so expansive and so loving and understanding, and they so accept me as a person, and I accept them fully in all of the different ways in which they manifest their personalities. So I was thinking about deity worship, as in, you know, all of that bathing, dressing, or even the different other forms of worship, arati or whatever else is done. My particular problem with my deity worship is polishing silver. I really dislike polishing silver. Not because of the labor involved, because that's not really the problem. The problem is the fumes from the chemicals used to polish silver. I am very chemically sensitive. So for me to polish silver is a big deal. I have to have it with fans, and or sometimes I wear a mask. I have this chemical mask because I really have a hard time with chemicals. Like the worst thing for me was when we're going to some new place and some person foolishly thinks that it's better to paint the room the day before I arrive. Oh, jeez. I get so sick for days, it practically kills me. So polishing silver is my own difficulty. I have a real hard time with polishing silver. So, but other than that, dressing the deities, bathing them, arranging the altar, I love it. I love that interaction. So I was thinking about people who have to do it all the time. If you notice in where there are certain rituals, and it's in every religious tradition like this, when they have to do it all the time, and they have to do it in a certain way. So what happens is that they don't feel good about it. It feels like a burden. And when it feels like a burden, the experience becomes toxic. This reminds me of something that if you're forced to take care of somebody, even somebody you love, and it's not something you're doing voluntarily, but you're forced to do it. It's a service you're forced to do. The relationship becomes toxic. That's why when people are forced to take care of other people, family members, due to age or sickness or problem, it creates emotional catastrophes. It creates very severe emotional stress, because what happens is that the love is replaced by this feeling of being exploited, this feeling of force. Therefore, one of the first things I understood was that the idea of being a servant is not only not proper, it's not even correct. It's an incorrect understanding. And therefore, I changed the way in which we describe the concept to being of service. Now, I know you all know this, but take what's coming in its own context. How can you feel good about being a servant? Because it's feel good day. How can you feel good about being a servant? Being a servant means servitude. It's something where you're forced. Nobody voluntarily enters into servitude. When we do it out of love, it's when we desire to be of service. And when we desire to be of service, we feel good about that service, and we feel good about ourselves. So when we feel good about ourselves and we desire to give and we desire to be of service, this is something very reciprocating. And the experience is much more enhanced than ordinary experiences because it goes to another level. It takes on a quality of selflessness as opposed to selfishness, where we transcend that quality of exploitive understanding. We transcend that quality of, shall we say, where we think of ourselves as the victim, but in reality we think of ourselves now, we feel of ourselves as one who offers, one who is giving voluntarily. Now, in previous understandings, or basically really in a very good understanding, it has been said that it is our nature to be a servant, or rather it is our nature to serve. Now, that's also not true. It's not that the concept is wrong, because after all, we are understanding this concept through a translation of words. We are taking this concept that is originally in another language, which is not clearly defined. You can have hundreds of Sanskrit scholars disagreeing with each other. It's one of those languages that just by arguing about the roots of verbs, you can cook up all kinds of meanings that serve your particular understanding of things. Now, I'm not saying there is no correct understanding or right understanding, but I am saying that that's quite a loose thing. That's not very rigid. Sanskrit is not a rigid language. German is a very rigid language. You say what you mean. It's very black and white. I'm not saying there's no artistic expression in German. Some German is very artistic and beautiful and so on. But as a language, it is much more rigid in the sense that the meanings are very related to the words. English is not like that. English is much more vague. English can mean all kinds of things. It just depends on how you think about it or what you think the meanings are. And that's why this nature of somebody to serve, it bothered me. So then when I thought the nature is to be of service, I thought of it in terms that I feel good about me when I can be of service. I like to be of service. What does that mean? It means I like it when I can do something, say something, be something that is of service to others, to assist them in their healing or feeling good about themselves or their progress, their growth. So I like to be of service. I like to be of service in sense of building structures which can make life better. I like to make life better. I like to protect. I like to give facility. I like to cultivate. I like that people prosper. That I feel good about. It makes me feel good when I do something valuable for you. But there's a reciprocation there. There's a give and a take. If somebody just takes, thinking that this is a way to make me feel good. And this is not just related to me. Many people do this. Those of us who have been giving, because we have this desire to be of service. We have been giving selflessly for many years. There is a group of people who have cultivated selfishness to such a degree that they think that their taking is their service. They feel it's their service to take. This pervades society. There are people who are very highly placed in this world who feel that by taking away the wealth of this world, by placing people in a more and more impoverished situation, they are doing the best service to mankind. And they have all kinds of justification for this. Now, this concept of giving and feeling good about it is limited. Because unless there is a reciprocation, you can't feel good about what you're giving. If I give you a gift, let's say a birthday present, and you take the present and throw it away, how am I going to feel good about it? You might say that if I just give you the present, that I should feel good about it because I'm giving. But I cannot when you throw it away. When you throw it away, it creates a reverberation, a frequency, an echo, that my gift is rejected. So I don't feel good about my gift. I feel exploited in some sense, or used in some sense, or I feel foolish. So I don't feel good about myself. It creates a reaction. So the idea of being of service is intimately connected with the attitude and reciprocation of those you are serving, of being of service to. In fact, it is the difference. It is the axiomatic difference between being a servant and being of service. Let's say you are a servant. Let's say you have an employer and you serve that employer. But that employer takes care of you under all circumstances. You have health protection, medical protection. You have a good salary that actually represents your value. In other words, you are being rewarded according to your real value. You are being reciprocated with, that your value is acknowledged. And the attitude of reciprocation is that the employer, let's call it, respects you, respects what you do, supports you, and when corrects you, does not bring in some, when you're being corrected, it's not from some kind of attitude of superior domination or putting you down. It's part of the relationship. Now, that's an ideal situation. But in that situation, even somebody who is subordinate with all of its implications, who is in, shall we say, inferior position, that's a very earthly term, but anyway, inferior position, doesn't feel bad about it. They feel good about themselves because they are being acknowledged, appreciated, and rewarded accordingly. And because of that, it is not servitude. It's being of service. Because they wouldn't be able to do something better anyway. Now, let's think about that. They don't feel they're a servant. They don't feel they're a slave. Because they are doing what they can do. They are being protected. You are doing what you can. You're getting supported. you're being reciprocated with according to your value. So because of that, you don't feel like a slave. You feel like part of a family or a community or a company or whatever. You feel a part of it. You are a part. You are an important part. And the proof of it is the way in which you are being acknowledged on all levels. You are being acknowledged. Now, consider that. It means that being of service is not a one-way street. It's a two-way relationship. Being of service, it's not something that just originates in you and emanates outwards. It's something that requires for its health an acknowledgement, an appreciation, a reciprocation from someone else who also desires to be of service. In other words, being of service is a two-way reciprocal relationship. Now, we all know this. We all feel it. We all desire it. And no one can tolerate it when it's in some other situation. When there's some exploitation, no one can tolerate it. Not for long. This is the essence of that nature. Because if we don't have this relationship, we wouldn't be able to tolerate. We would feel so bad about ourselves that we were being used or we were being placed in a situation of servitude. Now, this nature we have is a two-way thing. We desire to be of service, and we desire the same from others. We expect from others the same attitude. And when it's not there, we don't feel good about ourselves, or we break away that relationship. Or if we have some emotional, psycho-emotional problem, we might agree with someone else's opinion of ourselves that we're not good enough, that there's something wrong with us, that the reason why they don't reciprocate is there's something wrong with us. And therefore, this is International Feel Good About Yourself Day. Because, okay, we may have problems, and we may share our problems in our interactions, causing difficulty to people. But today we should feel good about ourselves. Because when you just feel good about yourself, you feel good about being of service. It's not a struggle anymore. Just like when you're in a group of people who are happy, laughing, you like to share that mood, invite others into it. But when someone comes in who's not happy, who's upset, angry, it crushes the mood. So when you're willing to be of service, you're desiring to be of service, and others come and trample on that mood, you don't feel good about it anymore. And how do we react? Because we're humans. And there's nothing wrong with being human. We say something that is more or less like, screw them all. Screw you. You don't care about me. I don't care about you. So now we have a worldwide movement of screw you. This is going on nationally. The Americans have decided this about international peoples long ago. International peoples have decided this about Americans. Protestants and Catholics decided that. The Jews and Muslims decided that. The Hindus and Muslims decided that. Pakistan and India decided that. Everybody everywhere decided it. It was a worldwide revolution of screw you. You don't appreciate me. You don't acknowledge me. So screw you. Now the problem with that is that when somebody's saying screw you, why would you want to be of service to them? Let's put aside who was originally responsible. To figure out the original responsibility is impossible. Everyone will point to someone else. And even if someone is so magnanimous that they accept personal responsibility, others will continue to create the same situation that made them feel so bad in the first place. Because it has a lot to do with chemistry. These situations just arise. So we are now in a situation where globally it cannot be fixed because everybody feels exploited. They feel alone. They don't feel connections. And even when they do feel a connection, it's usually got a lot of friction in it. One can keep a connection for some time, especially when it's newer, but to keep it over a long period of time demands that we never get into the screw you mood. Because as soon as we say this, we block the possibility of reciprocation. So we have it all over the world. So International Feel Good About Yourself Day. Now, what does that mean? Well, it also means that you don't do that. You just feel good about yourself. Because when you feel good about yourself, you can feel good about others. And when people who feel good about themselves get together, they start to see attractive qualities in each other. If somebody doesn't feel good about themselves, this permeates their entire energy. All of their interactions, all of their actions, activities are colored by that mood. And it is very hard to be attracted. It is very hard to be attracted to someone who doesn't feel good about themselves, who emanates this, it's toxic. This toxicity in their words, in their actions, in their feelings, in their energy. But when someone feels good about themselves, it is like a light. It is like a nice presentation. Because their energy, their words, their actions just emanate that feeling of good about self. That self is good. And so then when we see that, we want part of that. It makes us feel good. And we want to be part of that. We want to connect to that. So when you feel good about yourself, when others feel good about each other, we start to see the good in other people. We start to see in other people things we may never have seen before about them. Because when we feel good about ourselves, we can see the good in others. So, if you want to make revolution in this world, and I really think we should because things are so messed up everywhere, this international 24-hour declaration of feel good about yourself is a great start. Because then, when you're together with others who feel good about themselves, you start to see them totally differently. And I mean totally differently. The more you feel good about yourself, the more someone else feels good about themselves, you start to see the goodness. You start to see things that are nice. You start to see things that you want to be part of. When you don't feel good about yourself, you seek out things that you think will make you feel good about yourself. That someone else will compensate for your not feeling good about yourself. But it is not so. No one can transform your determined feeling about yourself. You can intoxicate yourself. And with that intoxication, think you feel good about yourself for some time. Why do you think there's drug usage everywhere? Alcohol everywhere. Everybody's into sex. Everybody's into food. Everybody's into doing things or TV or music or whatever you name it. These experiences, I'm not condemning them, but I'm saying these experiences are intoxicating. They help us to forget. They help us to forget the feeling we have about ourselves because they give a very powerful feeling of something else. And so we forget. This feeling helps us forget how we really feel about ourselves. Therefore, we seek it out everywhere, this forgetfulness. We seek out forgetfulness. Okay, the solution? Well, you know the solution. But knowing that problem of needing that reciprocation and the nature we have, very important. Because this nature of being of service depends on reciprocation. It cannot continue without reciprocation. Selflessness does not exist. Not for long. It can manifest out of love. You can give your life to protect those you love because they love you. Would you give your life for someone you loved who didn't love you at all? Then you would realize you don't really have that relationship of love. Okay, maybe in some Shakespearean drama or whatever. In reality, this selflessness, very rare, and always boiling down to love, and always that love has some reciprocation. So it is not selflessness. It may be sacrifice. That's different. Selflessness and sacrifice are quite different. I might sacrifice something about myself for the sake of something I value very much. I may sacrifice for my family. I may sacrifice for my friends. I may sacrifice my wealth in charity for the sake of something I believe in or something I wish to support. Me personally, I love charity. You give me a lot of money, I start doing charity. Even if I don't have money, I still give charity. I love it. It's one of the essences of my nature. I'd love to sacrifice when it's for something I believe in, because I believe in it. It's not selfless. It's sacrifice. Selflessness would mean, literally, I could give charity to anyone without having any connection to it. No belief, no reciprocation, no expectation of anything because that person has no connection to me. If I donate, let's say, for example, to take care of children in India, we do that, my wife and I, we love to do that. For years we've been doing it, taking care of children. We don't expect anything from them. It's not needed. We're just happy that they're developing, they're getting an education, they're getting health, they're getting clothes, they're getting food. That's enough. Charity done and without expectation is truly a sacrifice. But selflessness, in the sense of you just give, 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 and there's nothing there. You don't believe in it. Because when you believe in it, it's not selfless. You are supporting your belief. You are supporting something that you feel strongly about. You feel a connection to it. It's not selfless. It's something that you feel very strongly about. I think I've explained that enough. But in reality, this concept of being of service has to move to another level. Because I've seen, even in our own community, we have fallen into this feeling amongst people, the screw you idea, this insulation, this disconnection, this blocking off, this separation. How can you feel like that towards others and have a connection to the Supreme, to the Divine? How can you stand in front of God and say, I love you, but I can't stand anyone else? I don't want, like them, don't like, don't like, don't want, don't do. Everybody screw you. It's only me and God. Or even worse, me and Guru. Without reciprocation, how can you expect anything to develop? So, being of service is a divine thing. It is the nature of, for example, Radha and Krishna, of the demigods, the devas, of the nature spirits, of the ancestors, the forefathers, of the enlightened. The divine will be of service. But that is a similar situation to us. Without our acceptance and reciprocation, it doesn't work. And when we speak about the divine, the energy of the divine, the energy of God, the energy of Krishna, if you will, Radha and Krishna, is permeating all beings, is permeating all things. And reciprocation means to accept that energy, acknowledge it, appreciate it, reward it, reciprocate with it. It's an interactive thing that interacts in all directions, interacts on all levels, interacts in all dimensions, interacts with all beings. It is our nature. It is the actual energy that makes the matrix vibrate, pulse with life. And now the matrix is withering. The connections are almost all broken because people can't stand each other. Because people don't feel good about themselves, because others don't reciprocate with them. It's a spiral downwards, a downward spiral getting worse and worse day by day. And when you don't feel good about yourself, you don't want to spend anything. You want to hoard everything because no one else will reciprocate with you. So why should you give anything? Why should you spend anything? Just keep, keep, keep. The flow becomes stopped. So I say, in this feel good about yourself day, to renew the connection to the divine, to see and feel the way in which the divine wishes to be of service, wishes to be of service. And how do we feel about that? If you absorb that energy of the divine, the supreme, Radha Krishna, God if you absorb that energy of that beautiful divine being, beings everywhere wishing to be of service, how can you not want to reciprocate that amongst that energy of the divine wherever it may be found everywhere? How can you not want to do that? So when you feel good about yourself, feel good about the fact that that Supreme Self feels the same way, the same way.